Well, we're back again. George Hallford, Local Matters, and we've got today, and I hope I don't embarrass him when I say this, one of the brightest young economic developers in the state of Tennessee, Stephen Crook. Stephen was served our chamber while I was here before I retired as our VP of Economic Development, but you go way back with the chamber, and we're going to talk about all that. And but we're going. This whole thing is about you, and my hardest job is to be quiet and listen. I'm not a good listener. Stephen, welcome, and we'll get started.
George, my friend, thank you, and don't worry. You definitely did embarrass me in saying I'm a whatever you said decent economic developer. That's about top of the board for me.
well earned, and yeah. Let's just start out at birth. and just take us through your – I know you're a Cookvillian, your Haley, your wife, your family. Just talk about growing up in Cookville and what you did and your passions and your faith and your friends and just whatever you want to talk about, childhood. Don't spend all day in high school, but come on through and get us on through at least – Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, okay. Well, George, like we talked about last time around here, you and I can get on here and go for years.
We go for
years,
days. Yeah, I know.
But yeah, fortunate to be a Cookvillian, born and bred. I'm the only member of my family who is from Cookville. My family relocated from out in Colorado with my three older sisters and my parents back in the late 80s, just before me. And so then I came around and grew up right on the Putnam-Jackson County line in the middle of nowhere, and it was absolutely wonderful. Fortunate enough to have been a Cookville High grad, all the FCA and football and lacrosse and all the stuff. But where I think really started to come into my own was at Tennessee Tech, where worked at the Chamber of Commerce on the Public Building Authority side for 4 years there while I was at school and got a degree in political science. Went away long enough to know it was okay to come back home, as we've said before.
You can come home again. Thomas Wolfe was wrong. That's right.
Oh, yeah. And that's, as an economic developer, that's something that I like to call out with communities is a big goal is to get those boomerang young talent people come back home. Let them go out. Let them get some experience. Let them know the world.
And then come on back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, your dad, your family was in the hotel. I mean, he was in upper management for hotels out in Colorado or all over the country. So that was your background, I mean, your family.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to give you a little heads up. Don't go too much longer without talking about Haley.
Because
y'all go way back together. When did you meet your wife?
Probably about 3 years old. we were blessed to go to the same church growing up. Our parents were friends. But we had kind of lost contact. But lo and behold, senior year of high school, a buddy of mine says, will you come to a little – joint date because the girl I'm there to see wants it to be kind of a group thing. And so I go along, start talking to a girl, get her number, and he comes after me afterwards and saying that was the girl. So long story short, she and I date for a long time, get married, and unfortunately the friend and I are no longer close.
Yeah, I was going to say something happened to the friendship. Well, hey, you guys are some of our favorite. My wife, Gloria, and I, between the two of you, y'all are great. Attended your wedding. I remember that. A few years ago, but that's great.
9 years ago, believe it or not.
Was it 9 years? Life's fun. When you're having fun, time flies. You know, the story I remember, and I told you I'm going to quit talking, I'm going to quit saying that, was, you came to work with the town center working while you were going to Tech. And all of a sudden, we have this young professional who is very task-oriented unbelievable how well you served us during your tenure at Tech. So what did you learn there or what you didn't learn? Or looking back on your time at Tech, you met a lot of leaders in our community, public and private, because of the position.
Meetings. You never know who you're going to come across when you're cleaning the facility or setting up tables or chairs and things like that. I think the biggest thing I learned back then was time management because I was a full-time student and job ended up being close to full-time too. And it's something that if you can juggle your life and work balance and be dedicated to everything that you're focused on, then I think you can be successful. I think a lot of what makes Tech students so successful in life is that fact that they're work-oriented. I think we still graduate with lowest debt per capita in the state of Tennessee. And so these students are out there working, and I was an example of it. It got me a lot of life skills, taught me how to talk to just about anybody, whether they're a CEO or whether they're a janitor. You know, you never know who you're coming across and what impact they can have on your life.
We've been accused of having a faith show, and I'm proud of that. So you mentioned your family, mm-hmm. your faith, your church. Any growing up, you were active in all aspects of that. Is that you want
to
comment on that about you and Haley and how it's led you and how you live?
I think it's a core of our being. It's part of who we are. It's something that we're open and receptive to different perspectives and philosophies, but we always have to keep our faith as kind of the core in our heart and make sure that it guides our steps and interactions.
Okay. Now let's fast forward a little bit. Here, you graduated from Tech, and the Chamber's expanding, the economic development, the Highlands. And I never will forget, we're looking for an economic development manager at that time, mm-hmm. a VP for the Highlands. One of our staff said, well, he's right there, and it was Stephen Crook. So you literally, right out of college, joined the Chamber in Economic Development and began your career. Can you talk about – let's talk about that a little bit, getting started, what you learned, experiences.
I had a few little pit stops between and here, and I remember – when that opportunity first came up, it was Molly Brown who told me, hey, I think you should go after this. And I think I told her, oh, man, I've always wanted to be an economic developer. I love what that profession is and what it does for a community. Then I Googled it to find out what it was and then applied for the job, was fortunate enough to get it. But pretty early on, I found out it wasn't just a job. It was, as you say, almost from a faith and ministry background, it's a calling.
It's a calling. And that right. I had forgotten for a moment. Let's talk. You graduated mm-hmm. from Tech, and then you spent some time in Washington.
Yep.
Talk about those experiences in Washington, what you learned, what you wish you didn't know. just talk about what you did there in politics and your role there.
Yeah, I'll tell a brief story about the first week I was moved up there to be an intern. Boss comes to me and says, hey, Stephen, I would like for you to write a white paper on something called reverse auctions and why it's challenging for businesses working with the federal government in procurement. And so I Googled what a white paper was, and I put together a position piece and gave it to my boss expecting it was an exercise. Oh, yeah, he's testing me to see what I can do and whether or not I can stick. Well, a week later or so, we're in a meeting over at the Capitol, and my boss pulls out a folder of papers and passes one to everybody around the room, and it's with Buck McKeon, chair of the House Armed Services Committee at the time, and it was my white paper with no edits saying why reverse auctions was challenging for businesses selling to the government. So it told me right then and there that you can have an impact in your community, in your state, in your nation, well beyond what you may think. But Washington was an interesting place to go and learn how to be a professional, to practice some skills, learn how to talk and debate with anybody, play devil's advocate, if you agree with
point,
somebody.
Counterpoint.
Oh, yeah, and I love that stuff. You know that.
But you know what you said? Some people may not know that Washington is being run by – you have all these bright, young professionals who come there, serve on these staffs, and it's where you cut your teeth. So you learned a lot about the process, and I won't say Washington gets a bad name because, I mean, it's a swamp, and it's where sausage is made, political sausage. You don't want to see that. But it's, there's a lot of good things that go on there. And
there's some great leaders and some great civil servants and some great government representatives and some great private sector people. And those are the ones that I like to call attention to as much as possible because as much as you can find challenges, you look for the people that are seeking to do good, work together, find solutions, find common ground, and bring some things forward. And the more we highlight those folks, I think the better off we're all going to be.
And you made friends really all over the country in the time you were there. Probably still, you stay in touch as much as you can.
It's an interesting world up there where you've got people coming in from all over the
world. Coming, going,
Mm-hmm. Transient community where you're coming for a time, learning, and then you find yourself getting invitations for weddings halfway across the country 8 years later, and you're like, I haven't talked to that person in 5 years.
But the energy, the pulse of the world is right there in Washington, D.C.
In many ways, it is.
And you can feel it, can't you, when you work there.
Yeah.
We got a little time left. Anything growing up or tech or any stories you want to tell? This is about telling stories. So anything you jumps out at you, and we'll come back to the chamber in just a moment.
Well, you ask a great question. I think it's interesting in this community where you can grow up. Some folks live right downtown, very metro lifestyle, walkability, all that stuff. We lived out in the country where it was probably 25 minutes to the grocery store.
Really?
18
okay.
minutes to church okay. three times a week and all that stuff. And so we didn't necessarily grow up as farmers, but we grew up right amongst that.
But
lifestyle.
You were rural,
yeah.
urban rural.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In the South, Cookeville is urban.
Yeah, grew up with everything from guinea hens on the one side of us to horses on the other side. And you know, that's something that I do cherish, having grown up around here, is that you can grow up in the middle of nowhere. I didn't have any necessary neighbors to run over to and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But you can still build a community and yet have that peace and quiet and serenity.
Do you think that the world, young people your age and younger than you are, there's a shift coming? I know back in the dark ages when I was young, we all wanted to leave the small towns and go to the big cities because
now my wife wants
a lot of jobs.
Cows.
Do what?
Now my wife wants miniature Highland cows in the backyard
and goats and
chickens and all that stuff.
But so the world changes, and hopefully we're trying to build a community and region collectively that young people want to come and raise their family.
Yeah.
So we're going to come back in just a moment. We'll pick up at the chamber. And George Hofford with Stephen Crook, Local Matters. Stay tuned. Well, we're back. George Hofford, Stephen Crook, and we're just getting started. And Stephen, like you said, we could go all day, couldn't we? We just hadn't seen you in a while, and this is wonderful. Yeah, let's pick up where we left off and talk about you've graduated. You spent some time in Washington, D.C., learned a lot, got – You're a political you're a wonk. I'm a wonk.
Yeah.
C-SPAN and public policy and debate. Now you came back and you've gone to work for the chamber. Just spend some time talking about those experiences, who you work with, what you learned, and just anything you want to talk about. Tell the story.
Yeah, I think last time we got together, I shared an anecdote about one of our existing employers who at the time had filed Chapter 11 and us being concerned about them closing and what it could mean to that company, that community, that workforce, and how we were able to work collectively to bring them to stay and expand. But I think something I'd like to maybe mention is not necessarily project related that
no.
I learned, is more community building and consensus building, and it's on the workforce development side.
It's people.
Yeah. We were so fortunate to have Lillian Hartgrove be the founder and architect of a workforce development education program that preceded so many others across the country. And if we look now in my current role, and I don't want to jump ahead of schedule, but I see communities all across the state and some of the things that they're doing in workforce initiatives.
We started.
Yeah.
I mean, now, we were on the pioneer.
Murfreesboro copied us, and then they passed it off to Jackson, and then they passed it off. So it's amazing that a community like this can architect and originate some ideas of how to engage students at the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade level, make them aware about careers that are available to them and the degrees and credentials they may need, get the parents involved so that they feel confident sending their kid to a TCAT and knowing that they're going to have a good career with a forward-facing lens.
No question.
All that stuff is incredible. And so getting to work with people like Lillian, with Caitlin Sallier, with Ryan, with Cindy Taylor, with all these folks
who
have come
through.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
And still, we still have a team, but the original team the workforce development program. I've had Lillian on here months ago, but Lillian came here from Miami to manage SunTrust, and a communitarian lay leader in our Catholic Church, and I could go on just a. Good soul, Southern girl from Bay St. Louis, Mississippi.
Yeah.
She and her husband, and difference maker. I mean, became State Board of Education chair. So and retired here. So we were just blessed to have good people, and then of course the school system, Tennessee Tech. Community, I'm gonna leave people out.
But I think for me, the big takeaway is that started with a volunteer leader. Lillian was a board member for the organization.
I forgot
she volunteered.
That's right. That
she
was
gave
her passion.
Time. Absolutely. And you never know what that can do. And I think this community is so blessed to have dedicated volunteer leaders for nonprofit organizations, business organizations. Of course, unfortunately, we really recently lost a real titan of our leadership community,
Bob Duncan.
Oh. And when I think back to folks like him and Joe Albright and Alan Ray and Bob Bell and, of course, Lillian and all these volunteers who serve this community behind the scenes, originate programs in existing industry or targeted recruitment of industry or workforce programming or community development, those are the people that I think – in addition to our team and staff and yourself and others, really made me who I am and know how to operate in a world of economic development that there's not a ton of training out there for. You got to learn from people like them who have lived it, who have been through it every day, and like yourself, who have seen it for so many years. So, you know, I hated to see Bob's passing, and, you know, I think it's important to remember those people, and their fingerprints are all over this community.
You know, we're fortunate, and it's about leadership. And generations come and generations go, and we pass the gavel or pass the torch. And I'm seeing it right now in our community, people like yourself, and I'm going to leave people out. I'm not going to name names, but there's a changing of the guard, and we expect leaders to young leaders to assume these positions, and it's happening.
Yeah.
It's been happening. And very excited about that. And we're in a time. You know, when you're retired and you don't get out as much as you did. I'm amazed at the long term, the economic development. It's not a short term program.
No.
It's long term. It's infrastructure. It's planning, and we've done a great job overall as a community and region of trying to prepare for the future. Understanding rapid growth is tough.
Yeah, it definitely can be. But as we say in this industry, communities are either growing or they're dying.
That's right. There's no in between.
No, and so if we can have planned, sustainable growth where we know what we're trying to accomplish, then we can be really successful. I think of all of the projects that announce in a community, it can take years, decades even, to get a site ready for development,
right,
to go after that specific industry that just is doing their investment right now, and that's the only opportunity you've got to capture them. Then they're going to do a construction project and ramp up. It might be another 10 years before you feel the full effect of an economic
process. It's long term.
Absolutely. So you could see quite reasonably with roads, property acquisition, utility infrastructure, all the way to the time a company's built out, it could be a 20-year process.
That's right.
And that means that it's going to change hands so many times, from the person who's working on it day to day to the next, and leaders who are backing it and the vision being set. So economic and community development is a long-term strategy. But if we don't take that onus, if we don't take that responsibility, then we're going to look down the road a long time from now, and our kids and grandkids are not going to have the employment opportunities, and our community isn't going to be what it could have been, the best version of itself. So it's a long-term project.
Long-term, really, and what you're saying, too, is more and more we want to give our citizens less and less of a reason to leave our region for goods, services, jobs, anything. And we're moving in that direction, but it's an everyday, long-term process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're getting near the end of our second segment, but it's I'm just thinking back. You were here during some very exciting times. And you know, you prepare Johnny Appleseed, you plant the seeds, like you said, 10 years, 20 years, all of a sudden things started happening. So share a little bit about your time when industries are looking, and they still are. Companies are looking. And anything jumps out at you on that?
Well, it was fast and furious, wasn't it? We went from not a whole lot of project activity, not a lot of leads on requests for information,
to boom,
it seemed like we were announcing a project 2-3 times a year.
That's right. And that's a lot. People don't realize
that. It really is. Yeah. I mean, when you've got maybe 800 projects that announce in the United States every year, for an individual community to get more than one is a good thing.
To get one is a good thing.
So, yeah, it was fast and furious, and it almost felt like the dog that caught the school bus. We had to figure out, okay, well, what do we do to serve our existing industries? How do we build programs to lean into workforce so that they've got the available labor that align with the skills that they need in their operations? So it was Katie bar the door. But what I loved most was that even though we in the economic development side were busy, workforce was too, community.
We were hitting on all cylinders, tourism, visitors.
Yeah, and it continues today.
And we're bearing the fruit.
Continuing that effort all the way through.
Well, we're getting close to the end of the second segment. We're going to look in the crystal ball in the next. But we've gone through an exciting time, but it's started a long time ago. The foundation has been built, and we're reaping some benefits. And I believe our future is bright, and we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Yeah.
Stephen Crook, George Halford, be back soon. Now for the fun part, although all this has been fun. George Halford, Stephen Crook, we're back. Again, I said earlier, very good young friend, a better fellow, and one of the top young economic developers, not only in our state, but in our region, in states. So we're going to look in the crystal ball, Stephen. You're let's talk about where you are today, and Haley, what you see and what Cookeville is seeing and Upper Cumberland and Highlands and the state of Tennessee. So just talk about the future, the present and the future.
Be glad to. Well, you know, as we transition from working under the Highlands Economic Partnership, moving to take over the Industrial Board of Coffee County. Yeah, that was a really tough decision. That was something where if I didn't feel like our community was in great hands and moving in a great direction, that I wouldn't have felt comfortable taking that transition. And it was what was right for me at the time. I went there with the expectation to be serving for many, many decades, following the lead of a gentleman by the name of Ted Hackney.
Good friend.
Oh, yeah. Great economic developer. Had built some incredible sites and inventory and brought in a lot of good industry. And so we worked down there for only 2 years, believe it or not, and continued to build the program and work with the staff and the community to figure out where they wanted to go. And one of the big assets was this 2,000-acre industrial site that the industrial board
had. How many communities have 2,000 acres? There aren't many.
Right now, one. And
exactly. So yeah. You had that resource.
I did, yeah. And while we had it under public option, it wasn't under control. And so part of what we were happy to accomplish there was encouraging the state to acquire it with the intention of developing it for an economic development site. And so whether as a reward or punishment, shortly thereafter, Commissioner McWhorter reached out to me and they inquired as to whether or not I'd want to go after a position to represent the state and recruiting statewide, of course, but also help to work in developing that I-24 industrial site. So been there for now 8 months for the state of Tennessee, serving as a director of business development, working statewide. If you're not familiar with how our department is structured, we work at the pleasure of the governor under the Department of Economic and Community Development Commissioner. And there are divisions who focus on site readiness, on community development, on broadband, on downtown revitalization. We have regional offices headed by directors who serve in their individual communities with the local communities to develop them alongside each other and serve as an extension of that local staff. Here in the Upper Cumberland, Angela Rigetko is that director.
Of course, Angela's great, too.
Oh, my gosh.
We're very fortunate.
I don't think we even know how fortunate we are to have her as our director. And we've had a great run of people from TVA and ECD as directors in our region.
We really have.
But my role is I serve statewide in recruitment of targeted industries. And it's important I say targeted industries because Cookeville and Putnam County and the Highlands in the Upper Cumberland, each community is very specifically interested in certain
job types. Certain things. We complement.
Absolutely. But what I think I've learned most is 95 out of 95 counties feel much the same way. Nobody is submitting on request for information for low wage, unskilled cut projects. Everybody wants high skill,
We've gone from we need jobs to, as a state, to raising per capita income, keeping our talent at home, workforce development, going to a, a higher level, and it shows.
Absolutely.
It really does.
And so that's where the competition is. Everybody is very targeted in their focus right now, and so I don't necessarily work, say, the food and beverage or even the ceramic side, even though we've got some experience there. I focus mostly on aerospace and defense, cybersecurity, and automotive sectors right now, with a couple of other things like fintech based on project availability, but spending a lot of time in that aerospace and defense sector right now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You were telling me off air that, for instance, you've been working in Memphis,
yep.
And there's been a very successful project that you were the point person working in Memphis.
Really excited to get that one under the books.
800 jobs, mm-hmm. Something like that, that fits who we're looking for.
Exactly, and we couldn't have been more fortunate to have the partners we had at the local level, state, regional level, and getting projects announced that believe in a community, want to go be impactful to said community, are plugged in from before they announce the project to many, many years from now when they do their fifth expansion.
Oh, sure.
Aon is a company that located out there in Memphis. And so I'm blessed to be able to work across the state in targeted sectors, working with many communities, learning from them, hopefully sharing a little bit of knowledge here and there. But by and large, just touching as many communities as I can in my small role of trying to recruit some of these targeted industries.
You know, I was just thinking, you're getting an education. I mean, you know a lot about our state, but you're actually seeing our state, Mountain City to Memphis, 600, like very few people do.
Oh, yeah.
You and others, and you're learning about the cultures, the mores. We are three different states in one state, but we share a common culture and a common vision.
Yeah, we're blessed with great leadership that wants to steer companies towards where they're naturally supposed to be, working with the local communities to align their goals. We're never going to come in and say, well, this is a perfect fit for you. I remember, I won't name names, but when I was at the local level, I had somebody who does what I do now come and say, this is the perfect project for Cookeville. You'd absolutely love it. And it was a cut and sew, and it was about $11
an
hour. And I had to tell them, we couldn't fill those jobs today. How am I supposed to fill those jobs 5 years from now? And so I take that kind of perspective into my role, as well as do each of my counterparts that work in business development. We try to align the needs of a company with the goals of a community. And it's not just dropping in a project where it's not naturally meant to be. We want to go after the things that a community wants and wants to build on, but also recognize that it is a highly competitive world out there for these projects. And if communities want to win, then they've got to get creative and make themselves stand out. And so we try to help them do that in however we can.
And we don't want to mislead our audience. At the end of the day, and I think we've learned this as a state, as a country, we still need jobs. There are still people in our communities who need these type of jobs. So we're in the jobs business, but we're not focusing on that caliber of job, but we need those jobs in certain areas.
Well, a lot of what we do is forecasting, is trying to predict not just what jobs are going to be here tomorrow, but what jobs won't be.
And people can grow into those other
absolutely.
Jobs. So it's a little more, it's more long range, mm-hmm. and it's more strategic than it's ever been. Now let's turn the page and look in the future, the crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
You and Haley and your family, you've moved back to Cookeville.
Yeah, we're very blessed. Haley works at Tennessee Tech University, has a wonderful job there as a project manager in interior design under the Capital Projects Division. So her going from an hour and a half commute each direction when we were in Coffee County.
Pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. 12 minutes is a big boost.
And you're all over the state, so you're domiciled here.
Yeah, I mean, earlier this week, we had a prospect visit that was looking at Nashville and then down to southern Middle Tennessee. And so for me, I'm on the road most times at about 4 a.m. and get back whenever I get back. Sometimes I'm going all the way across the state in one day. Sometimes it's multiple. So for us, this is a great location to be. I can get to the airport. I can get to the communities I work
with. This airport out here.
Just equidistant
and then
from Nashville, Chattanooga.
Yeah.
That's perfect for me right now.
Yeah.
And her being here and us being close to family, it just makes a whole lot of sense.
So the old question, where are you going? Where do you think? Obviously, plans change, but looking in the future, do you see yourself maybe coming back in a local community or region? Do you, right now, I know it's too early to say, but How do you and Haley see the future?
I think it's telling that I worked with, you know, our organization at the Chamber for, what, 12, 14 years all in. I'm not one who likes the job hop. So I'm in this role for the foreseeable future.
That's
for a
great.
Very long time. I love what I do, and I think that what we do in ECD to work across industry lines to make sure that we're helping to grow the economy and maintaining a hot economy, because that's not a foregone conclusion either. I love that so much. So I see us being here, and I see me being in this role for a very long time, as long as they'll have me.
You know, you said something earlier about calling, and we're so fortunate, those of us that found something. The old thing about it, if you find something you love, you know, you'll never work a day in your life. So you're hooked, buddy. You've got a – it's in your blood.
I remember you told me when I first came on, you said, I'll give you 6 months. And it's not that I'm going to fire you in 6 months, but in 6 months this will either be in your blood – or you're going to be looking for something else just because it's not for you. And you were spot on. It's in the blood.
It's a double-edged sword, really, because even as someone who is retired now, and we live here, this is home. This is our home. We love it.
And I'm so glad for that.
But, you know, it's you look at things differently. I mean, but I still have the passion.
Yeah.
I still love what – I love this community. I love this state, region. And you're on the same path that I – that I was years ago in terms of your commitment, in terms of your future. Your calling.
Yeah, I think so.
Making
too.
A difference. You're a pro. You're already a pro.
Just now learn which levers to pull. I mean, we're working projects in other communities where we bring in experts to help to sell a company on a location. Well, I know who to call. I know who to call Dr. Gannett at Tennessee Tech and say, hey, even though it may not be located.
You know, Denny Wayne in White County. You know, you've got a – I could start naming.
I'll call Jesse Smith at ORN. We know which levers to pull that's going to make a project successful. And I think it's important for the people in this community to know that even if a project isn't necessarily located in Cookeville or the surrounding areas in the Upper Cumberland, we have an impact on the entire state. Tennessee Tech is a great example where they are – active in a lot of projects that I'm working,
even if it's going to locate
in Nashville or even if it's going to locate in Murfreesboro or Jackson, Tennessee. You know, they're right there with us at every turn. So it impacts more than people even know outside of our community.
We are the Jackson of I-40 East. You know, Jackson in West Tennessee is regional, and we're location between – and that's what we play a large role in our region.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, see that when certain folks get called to TEDC, past presidents, and things like that, and big name and big reputation across the state.
We're very fortunate, and our family's fortunate. We're winding down, but Stephen, thank you, and George Hofford, Stephen Crook, bright young man with a bright future.
Well, thank you, sir.
See you, see the audience next time.